sick of listening to your shit. Shut the fuck up.
If you're a heckler, shut up. If you're a hater, shut up. If you ain't holding the mic, then shut the fuck up. Fuck boy, shut up. Fake friends, shut up. If you ain't about growth, then shut the fuck up. Negrophobic, shut up. All lives matter, shut up. White man with a forked tongue, shut the fuck up. Victim blamer, shut up. Uncaring, shut up. If you're worthy to our benefit, shut the fuck up. Liar, liar, shut up. Wolf crier, shut up. When grown folks are talking young, and shut the fuck up. You a traitor, shut up. Manipulator, shut up. Real friends know the time to shut the fuck up. Wrong preacher, shut up. Wicked preacher, shut up. If you ain't got any answers, hey, shut the fuck up. Interrupter, shut up. Obstructor, shut up. If you ain't holding the peace pipe, shut the fuck up. Hey, 2021.
Shut the fuck up.
That's what's up.
I woke up late on my born day. I'm 48. It's a blessing. The essence of adulthood leaves my body now fresh, and my physical frame is celebrated because I made it. Half of life, some godly-like thing created. Got rhymes, 365 days annual plus one, some. Load up a mic and bust one. Cuss as I puff from my skull, cause my pain in my brain vein, money maintained. Hey, welcome to another episode of Shut Up Podcast. I am your host, Beat Black, a.k.a. Beat Blizzak, a.k.a. Mr. ShutUpPodcast.com on the web. Is it Mr. Shut Up Podcast? And then if you are one of the French listening to my podcast, a.k.a. Monsieur Grand Papa B. Now, before I continue with the show, I have to explain to you new listeners that this podcast is protected by the red, the black, and the green, and also waves a red, black, and a red-blue flag. Rouge et bleu is up in this bitch. I'm representing and holding it down for black folks who grew up in the 80s watching TV Ontario, Télé-Québec, and Soul in the City and Much Music. This episode is being recorded on January 8th, 2023. 12:01 p.m., which means it's legal for me to drink liquor now. This episode is also brought to you by the letter F. F for Fuck Whitey. Fuck Whitey as a staff, record labeled as a motherfucking crew. And if you want to be down with Whitey, then fuck you too. All right, okay, let's get this show started. B-Black, did you really forget to, yes, I did. Okay, it's, sorry, just bear with me here as I, there's a thing I do with my notes, which is copy it in a place where I can see it properly, and I forgot to do that. So just give me a second as I copy and paste this shit. You know, this probably would be funner, more fun if I did that, if I did this on YouTube, because then you could see what I'm doing and what the holdup is. But yeah, hey, all right, so it's kind of a running joke here. Inside joke for myself is the actual verse by Nas is, I woke up early on a born day. I'm 20, it's a blessed, whatever, yeah. And so my intention, actually, I should remember, yes, the title of today's episode is Woke Up Early on My Born Day. And so, yes, let's just get this out the way. It is my born day, January 8th. I heard, you know who else's birthday is today? Kim Jong-un, my favorite dictator. Kim Jong-un. And yeah, man. So, happy birthday to the Supreme Leader, even though I know that a lot of people don't like you. Right. The running joke is how woke up early translated to me waking up at like 11 o'clock. So, my intention was to wake up early and record this podcast. Get it out the way so I can enjoy the rest of my, enjoy the rest of my day. And that's not what happened. What happened is past B, 47-year-old B Black decided to fuck me over and go to bed very late and smoke some, and maybe not, smoke some pot and all kinds of shit. And then, I don't know, younger me would have been able to get out of bed and just, you know, do what I needed to do. But no, older me was like, man, fuck it. It's my birthday, man. I'm sleeping in. One more hour. And once 11 o'clock hit, I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to rename the show to Woke Up Late on My Birthday. Something like, yeah. So, joke's on you, Jack. Yeah. Man, you know, when I said, yeah, grew up in the 80s, watching TV. Kevin on Stage. I don't know if you're familiar with him, but, you know, shout out to him. Kevin on Stage in one of his posts, one of his funny posts. Well, this one is less funny, is had the need to remind us that 30 years ago was 1993. Reflect on that. 30 years ago was 1993. I remember when I was the young guy watching Happy Days and with the Fonz and shit like that, and thinking about how I think that was Happy Days was in the 1950s or 1940s. You know what I mean? Let me look that up, Happy Days. But my point is, I remember thinking, wow, these motherfuckers are from an era that didn't exist. These motherfuckers are prehistoric. And, you know, and it was just like, you know, less than 30 years ago. Hey, Happy Days. Of course you're going to give me, okay, Happy Days, TV show. Oh, 1950s, set in 1950s and 60s, Milwaukee. My point is, I was living in the 80s. I was a young guy in the 80s, and 30 years ago was 1950. And I remember thinking, wow, those motherfuckers, holy shit, they had, that was the era when they had college only sign. Now we have, I'm trying to make the transition. Look, my whole point is, I'm getting old. This is really, there's an overall theme to the show is, I'm getting old. And I'm going to warn you that the next topic that I'm about to tackle and broach, or next thought I'm going to share with you, might be depressing for some of you, man. You know, I don't know. Yeah, it's this Be Black tradition, what should be a happy day. I'm going to try to make it depressing. It's not my attempt, but it's just, buckle your seatbelt. I'm warning you right now, if you're in a good mood, this might bring you down. I'm going to share what I consider to be some forbidden thoughts. And I don't mean like in the kinky kind. I mean like it's the kind of conversation, the kind of stuff that I'm about to say, I'd be very mindful, selective about who I would have this conversation with, because I know how it's going to likely trigger them to not understand or misinterpret my intention in this conversation. And it's going to deal on the theme of death. And I'm gonna start off with this clip from Game of Thrones to create a little context here. I'm not sure where I want to go with this, but I'm freestyling. Fuck it. We'll see where we end up by the time we're done. So this is the starting. This is how I introduce the topic.
Do you pray to the gods?
The old and the new.
There is only one God, and his name is Death. And there is only one thing we say to Death. Not today.
Fight. Yeah, that was season one, Game of Thrones. And I remember watching that, and I'm like, how can death be a god? That's not the point. All right, let me give you a setup here. I was sometime this week, I remember going to bed, and the song by Lauryn Hill, Nothing Even Matters, by Lauryn Hill kept playing over in my head. And as I was thinking that, I was also thinking about how in this life that we live in, how can death not be the only thing that matters to us? Now, I remember trying to embroach this conversation. Is that embroach a word? Whatever. Yeah. Take on this stuff. I don't know. I guess, again, I'm not sure what I was thinking about. I'm not sure where I wanted to go. All I know is I found myself wondering, how is death not the most important thing in the world? Like, fuck, like, we all say, like, you know, I guess, you know, everyone needs to figure out what matters the most to them, what's the most important thing to them. And I'm like, how is death not it? Now, I remember trying to have a conversation with a friend of mine, you know, I consider him to be, you know, he reads a lot of books, so I automatically assume that he's smarter than me. And he started to, and he said, oh, you're talking about nihilism? And I'm like, I'm not even sure. I'm like, I think I am, or maybe I'm not, or maybe all the weed I had smoked the past week had, this is what happens. Sometimes lately I've not been able to enjoy the highs from weed because it leaves me with a hangover, but not like a hangover headache and things like that. But it's just like, I feel like all of a sudden my thoughts are dark. I'm like, yo, fuck. I start thinking a lot about death. I start thinking about one day you're going to have a last breath. One day you're going to have a last birthday. You're going to have a last word. Basically, in this world that we live in, everything comes to an end. Valar Morghulis, all men must die, or all men die. Is that what it means? Yeah. So yeah, I don't know. All I know is that's what I was thinking about. And it's had me thinking. So yeah, first I thought that's what Lauryn Hill was singing about when she said nothing even matters. But you know, when I looked up the lyrics or remembered the lyrics, I mean, oh no, man, she's talking about dick. I mean, crass, but yeah, no. In her cases, in her song, nothing even matters, she's talking about the bond she has with this other person. Then I thought of Israel Houghton. Houghton? I don't know. He's got a song called Nothing Else Matters. And Cody Carnes, he has a song called Nothing Else. But they're both talking about God. And I remember being one of those people who would have been saying the same thing as them. But here's the thing. Love, God. Love has an ending. God, as far as we know, that dude is like a imaginary figure. You know, it's like, it's we created this idea of this thing, of this entity called God. And you tell yourself, but how do I say this? It's like, but I think I've reached a point in my life where I'm like, death feels more real than God. Does that make sense? Well, I mean, I guess it depends who I'm talking to. I know to my younger self, my used to be Christian self, I would be, you know, I feel like this is a diary entry for, this might be a diary entry of an ex-Christian going on. Like, this is what happens. I'm probably reflecting the fact that now that I'm an ex-Christian, I'm acknowledging the void that was created, like the void that was, like, I guess, yeah, all these questions were answered when I thought I had a religion, when I was religious. And now that I don't have it, I'm back to asking the question, if death is like so certain, if everything comes to an end, then what the fuck? What matters? I think Linkin Park, they got a song called, Linkin Park's got a song called In the End. And from what I understand, I think they're talking about life. I think they're like, you know, maybe I should have read the lyrics. Hold on a second. Let me try that. I'm not going to play the song for legality reason. And seriously, Rap Genius, stop fucking questioning my humanity. God damn it. All right. Let's see. So it starts with one thing. I don't know why. I don't even know. It don't even matter how hard you try. Keep that in mind. I designed this rhyme to explain in due time. All I know, this is a valuable thing. Watch it fly by as the pendulum swings. The idea illustrated of a pendulum, the story of a prisoner wakes up and finds himself strapped to the board with... Okay, whatever. Watch a countdown to the end of the day. The clock ticks life away. It's so unreal. Didn't look out below. Watch out the time. Go right the window trying to hold on. Didn't even know. I wasted all just to watch you go. Oh, wait, whoa. Oh, is he talking about... I kept everything inside. It all fell apart. What it meant to be will eventually be a memory. And when a memory of a time, tried so hard, it got so far. But in the end, okay, so what did they say? Rap genius. The chorus goes, the chorus evokes existential. Yeah, I think I'm singing some Linkin Park. I think this episode is like a Linkin Park lyric right now. This chorus evokes the existential nihilism, which poses that personal accomplishments and even life itself are without inherent meaning. Chester's specific loss is about wasting time trying to build a relationship with a woman who didn't want him. But his phrasing extends to the idea of apathy of any applicable pursuit. Oh, wow. Charles Andrew used to use these first two lines in a message that he left before shooting and killing two classmates at a high school in Santa California. Who's Charles Andrew? Oh, wow. School shooting in the United States, California? Oh, wow. And what did he, oh, okay. Damn. Okay, so, and then I was thinking about, yeah, again, what matters? Nas's line from that same song that I recited earlier on. I remember him saying, Nas, I'm saying that's what it's all about, right? Clothes, bankrolls, and hoes. You know what I'm saying. Yo, then what, man? Then what? Some people might say, I don't know. Yeah, some people might say, I don't know. Look. I was going to say some people would say family matters. I don't know. I guess I've met a lot of people who say family matters, but they said it like a politician would say it. But deep down inside, they were selfish motherfuckers who actually didn't give a fuck about their family. But they would say that. Like, I've met a lot of selfish people who would say shit like, nothing else matters in this world but my family. And then you realize that they never meant it. But, yeah. Look, okay. You might have an answer. Shout out to you if your answer is, you have an answer that's doesn't involve death. But for me, I can't get out of this notion of this idea of, it's kind of, yeah, I think, I feel maybe I'm going for this thing is, what the fuck is the point if it all comes to an end? Love comes to an end. Happiness comes to an end. I know I'm sounding depressing. I'm brainstorming this idea. One thing I do not want is be approached by people who want to give me their answer. No. It's not give me their answer, but want me to accept their answers. Because this is a forbidden thought, because usually if you bring this up, when I would bring this up in a church setting, like that's actually a thought that I'm having, someone would jump in with some asshole shit about like, Jesus matters. Stop thinking like that. Stop having these thoughts. And you know, and just to do some people pleasing, I'd be like, okay, all right. I'll say exactly what you want me to say. Meanwhile, in the back of my mind, I'm still trying to figure out what the fuck matters to me in this world. Now, I am being nihilistic. I am following the, you know what? Let me look up this definition here. Nihilism. I remember someone at the barbershop just brought up the word nihilism, and I was like, tell me more about this religion. Yeah, according to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, nihilism, a viewpoint that traditional values and belief are unfounded and that the existence is senseless and useless. Nihilism is a condition in which all ultimate values lose their value. Oh, wow. A doctrine that denies any objective ground of truth, and especially or moral truth. Two, doctrine or belief that condition in the social organizations are so bad as to make destruction desirable for its own sake, independent or any constructive program or possibility. I mean, just, you know, look, I think I might do more reading on this idea of nihilism. Who knows? Maybe I'm not. But that's where I'm at right now. That's, you know, January 8th, 2023. I thought I'd be on a spaceship by now or driving a fast car. No, instead, I'm recording a podcast and wondering about the power of death. But here's the thing is, some people say that I'm experiencing, you know, nihilism, but I'm thinking about the thing is that when I used to do comedy and, one time I got off stage and someone came up to me and says, yo, I don't know how you do it. I don't know how you got on that stage. And I felt like telling them, I felt like replying, think about it. You're going to die. What I did right now ain't going to. Okay, it's what inspired me to finally get into comedy, to finally break through and stop worrying about what people might or may not think or how they react or whether I'm going to suck or whatever, was the idea that one day I'm going to be on my deathbed and comedy, doing that, getting on stage and trying out jokes just to see if I'm funny. It's one of those things I'm not going to be thinking about when I'm on my deathbed, my TPS report. A lot of the shit that I made important during those days were things that weren't really important. Someone else told me it was important, so I accepted as being important. But it hit me how, I guess I'm saying, when I started to consider my mortality, when I started to remind myself that, yo, one day you're going to be dust. One day you're just going to be a memory. People are going to move on. They're going to forget, like, how, the reason I laughed is I was thinking about how, I remember when my account got blocked on Facebook. And I was thinking of everyone who, before, when I had a Facebook account, who kept saying, oh, I loved your account. Oh, I love your messages and yada, yada, and everything like that. But once I got kicked off of Facebook, it reminded me of that's what death is. Maybe someone noticed. Maybe a few people noticed that I was gone. Actually, that's a lot. A few people didn't notice that I was gone. But the point is, they moved on. So I'm like, I felt like it was like my introduction to what death is going to be like. Well, what's funny is, the thing is, during death, I'm not going to be thinking about any of this shit. I'm not going to be thinking. I'm assuming it's just going to be one big blood. Like, right. You know what it is? Okay. I grew up believing in the afterlife, the concept of an afterlife, so much to the point that it gave me reason to take the life that I was living for granted. It's like, you know, I'll have a redo. Oh, fuck it. You know, whatever. It doesn't matter. I'll work this shit job. I'll tolerate this shit job because in the afterlife, I'm going to get a better job working for Jesus. Whatever. Some bullshit like that. But I remember where it hit me where, I got to a point, I'm not sure what came first. Stop believing in the afterlife, in heaven and earth. I'm not sure what came first, or the notion that I don't think that's how the afterlife works. I don't think we were meant to believe in an afterlife and take this life that we have now for granted. I'm not sure what came first, but I did know that I was wrong for believing that life wasn't precious enough for me to not take it for granted. You know what I mean? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. I wrote down coworker going through some real shit. Yeah, I'm working on this new team. I'm not going to put people's business out there because I'm team lead. I've been made aware of some of the problems my coworkers are going through at home. And hearing their problems just reminded me of, yo, one, they're human beings, not just coworkers, and two, they're going through some real shit. Like, you really don't know what a person is going through in their life. And I was thinking of one in particular. We were in a Zoom meeting, and this guy, he was talking to us, then he was interrupted by a phone call. He mutes the conversation, takes the phone call, and then he gets back to us and says, "Oh man, oh, I just heard," casually, just says, "Yo, I just heard my sister overdosed." And I guess, I don't know if he felt the need to share that with us, but he just did it. And I'll be honest, I don't know what homeboy felt in that moment. But I do remember wanting to say, "Dude, fuck this meeting, fuck us, go handle your business." And when I say handle your business, whether it's stay at home and reflect on how you're feeling at the moment, or whether it's wanting to support your sister, whether it's to diss her, or whether it's to whatever. But I wanted to say, yo, fuck this. We have no importance. Right now, I guess my family value kicked in. I was saying, I guess I felt like saying, yo, fuck this work, be with your family. And if you don't want to be with your family, then deal with yourself. Like, handle, because you're going through some traumatic shit. And homeboy just, like, dusted off. Like it was nothing. He's like, "Yeah, man, my sister had an overdose." And I'm not sure if he felt embarrassed explaining that to us. And I wish he didn't, but, you know, again, I'm not him in his position. But he probably felt embarrassed because he was starting to say that, oh, fuck. Like, he was ashamed of her. Like, he started to talk to about her the same way my parents would talk about us when a teacher would send a note to my parents to say, "Hey, your kid is fucking up," and my parents, instead of taking the time to understand why we're fucking up, they felt some shame. They felt like it was a reflection of, like, this white person is judging their parenting style, like they were living up to a stereotype. So They focused on their shame instead of focusing on the fact that, hey, you got a student who's not getting along with their teacher or something like that there. And, I'm projecting. Again, I don't know how homeboy felt. I just know that I felt like saying, if you're feeling shame because of us, please don't. You're going through some real traumatic shit. You're going through some real life shit. Handle it, man. Like pray, meditate, play video games, but leave us out of this, man, because you're going for some shit. Maybe, you know, I think it was probably more healthier for him to stick to work and telling us about it and then changes the subject. But I just remember being in that moment, and hearing him say that just reminded me of how much our job is fucking meaningless in the spectrum of infinity. Now, okay, granted, okay, yes, I do need my job to pay the bills, okay, who am I kidding? I'm being realistic, yes, it is. I'm just thinking about all those times I was at work. I guess I had a moment at work where my stress level was through the roof, and it got to a point that I had to stop working or else, you know, ugly things would happen. But in that moment, I started to think about how much this my sanity is not worth losing over this fucking job. You know what I mean? My health is not worth losing over this job. I guess that's what I'm trying to get at. I'm going to be a little dramatic right now, right? I was going to say, I'm probably better off being homeless and healthy than unhealthy and with a job. I don't know. Okay, hold on. Let me think that one through. Okay, comfort. Comfort is something that I value. I don't know. Okay, I guess all I'm saying is, at the moment, maybe it's just the mood that I was in. Maybe it's just a phase. Who knows? I'll snap out of it. Who knows? Maybe by, what are we, episode 42? Episode 42? Who knows? Maybe in July I'll be, I should probably write this down. But this is definitely in my, if you're familiar with the show, I have my sections broken off into This Week in Therapy, and then Random Thoughts. So this is like a This Week in Therapy session. This is like some introspective shit. At the moment, I don't see anything important, more important in our life than that possibility, that the reality that one day I'm going to die. Okay, I don't know, speaking of dying, I don't know why my monitor just died on me, but don't fuck with me, homeboy. I really hope I don't have to buy a new computer. But anyways, yeah. The reality of dying feels the most important thing in the world. And I can't see anything differently. What did I say? All I do know is, okay, so last notes, final notes that I put down is two things. One is, I do know, one thing is for sure is, this reminder of death, or how I cope with that notion of death, is with this podcast. I will not be surprised if, when I die, all of a sudden my numbers go up. All of a sudden people are curious to know, what was B Black thinking? What was on his mind? I was trying to avoid my government name. Usually I censor it, but yeah. Whenever you hear this sound, where is it? Oh shit, where is it? Whenever you hear, where'd it go? Well, hold on, bear with me. Oh fuck, I don't have it anymore. People Black people react.
Yeah. Nope. I am your king now.
Nope, not that one. Shit, I don't have it anymore. Oh, I forgot to save it, I guess. Oh. Nope, that's not it. Cock shoot the gun ring. Oh, I'm disappointed in myself. Oh, I'll tell you what. Okay, well, fuck it. Well, since I'm here. Oh, whatever. I will just trying to find the censor noise that I... Whenever you hear a cracker, that's me censoring the usage of my government name. All right, okay. Getting back to the topic. Yeah, so two things. Two last points I'm going to make, right? I'm using this podcast as a way to... Like Nas says, in his Live Now, he goes, to resurrect me. Hold on, what's that verse he says? Live now, lyrics, putain de merde. There we go. He goes, travel half the world, wished I travel the rest of it from QB to Mecca, kids. So if you knew me, you'd be so proud to say I left you with enough memories to resurrect me with. Yeah, all right, okay, yeah. So yeah, I guess I'm using this podcast as a way to, I'm gonna guilt people into listening to my podcast, but yeah, but this podcast is probably an attempt for the closest thing you'll be able to do to resurrect me. Like, I like the idea of the notion of speaking on this podcast like I'm from the year. Sorry. Holy shit. I think I'm, what was the name of that TV series on Netflix? I think 13 Reasons Why. Is that what it's called? 13 Reason Why, yeah. But this ain't, okay, now I want to be careful. No, this ain't, okay, this is not a reason why. This is more, if I speak to you pretending like I'm speaking from the other side, then I start to give a fuck less about people's reaction. Because I'm very overly conscious on how people will react to what I say. So much that it causes me to not be able to articulate my real thoughts. I won't lie, man. You see me on the road. You see me out there. Assume I'm bullshitting, man. I mean, I'm not going to lie to you. If I tell you I'm going to do something. But if you're one of those rare human beings who's actually curious, who's actually patient enough to want to know what's going through your mind, B Black. It's not going to happen in a normal, standard conversation. Nah, first, it takes a lot for me to trust another human being, to believe that, oh, they are being sincere. I'm used to people, I guess that's what happens when you were raised or surrounded yourself by narcissists. Because you just trained yourself to be a tool for everyone else, a convenience for everyone else. But yeah, if you happen to be one of those people who are really curious, who really want to know, what are you thinking about? This is probably the closest way, the best way available method I have now. The only time I'm able to be like, I remember the first time talking to a therapist. Actually, two points about the therapist. First time I went into therapy, I've seen two therapies in my lifetime, right? I'm on my second one right now. So my first therapist, I remember I was probably in my 20s, early 20s, and she noticed how I was very uncomfortable around the concept of death. And today I feel like the pendulum has swung. And well, it's not that I'm comfortable, but I'm more accepting of it. I know of that possibility. I don't like speak lower. Okay, you know, people die. You know, I don't talk about death the same way white people talk about race, where it's all uncomfortable. I'm like this is me embracing it. Maybe I am uncomfortable around the concept of death, and me speaking is like kamikaze. Yeah. Second point I was gonna make about therapy is actually in both cases, first time I went to therapy, it was the first time I felt like another human being was actually sincere in wanting to hear what I had to say. Really wanted to hear, like they were digging. They was like, yo, fuck the propaganda. Fuck all the, what you think I want to hear. Fuck all that. No. What is B Black thinking? And here's the thing. This is probably not a unique thing to me. I'm not the only one out there who's goes through life wearing a mask and only waits to get home to take off that mask. No, there's a whole bunch of people out there, yeah, hiding behind a mask. We're all self-conscious. I'm just the first to admit it. Yeah, we're all fucked up, but I'm just saying, yes. Speaking, I'm not trying to depress you, but using the concept of death reminding me of my mortality on this podcast is probably one of the few ways I can get myself to speak out and say what's truly on my mind. Second, I was thinking about how what I'm thinking about death is, wow, this is a 30-minute segment. I knew this was going to take long. All right, okay, fuck it, man. Fuck it. I mean, you're my fucking birthday, man. I take all the time I want. Hold on, man. Okay, hold on. Sip of this coffee. Oh, since it's noon, I could take a shot. Anyway, whatever. I was thinking of Stephen Covey, 7 Habits of Effective People. The second habit is begin with the end in mind. And I like the idea. And what he was trying to get at with that is if you want to figure out what your life is about, picture yourself in your coffin. You know, picture yourself in your coffin and at your own funeral, right? And start to think about what you want, what you would want people to say at your funeral. Oh, he was my dog. You could count on him. Oh, he was a grit. It was all that, all that kind of. See, I used to love that exercise until I reached a point where I realized, see, the thing is because I know a lot of people. See, I used to want, like, shallow shit. I wanted celebrities to be at my funeral, to be like, if it wasn't for B Black, I would have never made it, you know, shit like that. I wanted hoes to be like, you know, B Black, help me, turn me into a housewife. I wanted housewives to be, B Black, help me find my inner freakdom. You know what I mean? At the time, there was a lot of people who really didn't matter to me. But I wanted them to be there. Like, now I'm at the point where I'm like, I want to live a life where the people I don't fuck with know why or know that I don't fuck with them. Like, don't show up to the funeral. Like, don't show up saying bullshit like, oh, him and I, we were close friends. Nah. I've done a lot of tap dancing, and yeah, I don't want the people who I tap dance from to be there, because I didn't like you. You were just, like, I want them to know how, you were a pain in my ass. People like you made this existence more difficult than it needed to be. Like, I want those people to know that. But sorry, getting back to that example is, that exercise works, but now I'm at the point where it's like, I don't really care if anyone shows up to my funeral. Fuck it, man. Let's just get it over, wrap it up. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. Fuck it, cremate me. And I do have some close friends, people who I actually call close friends, who I guess I would want them to be like, yes, I appreciated his existence. But everyone else, yeah, man, they can all go fuck themselves, man. Everyone else, the real ones, I want them to be like, not cry, but I want them to know that, yo, man, don't shed a tear, because, don't shed a tear for me, nigga. I ain't happy here, but I want them to know that I did appreciate their existence. And I'm not saying this to gratify someone's ego. I want them to say, in this crazy thing we call life, in this journey, this bumpy ride, you were an umbrella in the storm. I guess I would want them to feel that way. But everyone else, yes. You know, I guess that's my problem right now, is I'm in this fuck you mode. Like, I have this unresolved anger that I'm processing through, and maybe that's probably adding to why I'm in this nihilism. But this segment was initially titled What Matters to You, and to me, it's death. But instead is, do you pray to the gods, the god of death? And I don't know. You know what? Okay, I'm not. Not sure where I was trying to go with this subject. This was more like a brainstorming session. I will likely come back to it. I will not be surprised if one day this turns into a great, either a bit or a great speech or something like that, or whatever, or another, or a great topic for guests. So I'm gonna leave it at that. Begin with the end in mind. What is the end? What if the end is like preferential? I don't know. All right. Shout out for you for sticking around. Now, sorry if you're one of those people who stuck around because and heard the last episode and wanted to hear my thoughts. Where was I going? What did I mean when I wrote, feminism is it our enemy, fellas? To be continued. If you listen to, anyways, that was the last segment. And this is what I meant. This is what I meant. Is one is, first I should probably start saying that how I've been reading, I'm still reading, and I'm close to finishing the book by Bell Hooks, Feminism is for Everybody. I was listening to the book, I was like, I don't know all this stuff. And then I went from, I know all this stuff, to, damn, she's good at articulating these words. And maybe how I take for granted that I know these ideas that she had to put down on paper. And maybe it's a result of her putting it down on paper and smarter people being able to register. Like, a lot of the things she says are things that they're easily accepted. It's kind of like reading, like, black people are equal to us. Black people shouldn't be eating, shouldn't be drinking at a separate fountain. Like to a white person now, that's like, duh. Well, that's what they'll tell you. But back then, that was like revolutionary thinking. So I forget that a lot of the shit, there was a time where the words that she put that on paper were revolutionary. Two, I lost interest in reading the book until I reminded myself the reason why I'm reading this book is because maybe I understand what she's saying. But I can take part in explaining what she's saying to those who there's hope, to those who wouldn't get it, who might not get it. Anyway, so in terms of feminism is not our enemy, I just finished a chapter where she was talking about how a lot of propaganda, there's been a lot of attempts to, what's the word, to portray the feminist movement for what it's not. And this is what I mean when I say, fellas, if I was the king of all men, all hetero men, all hetero problematic men, the message I would send to them is feminism is not your fucking enemy. And I was reminded of that thought. I remember reacting to it. Is someone on my Twitter timeline posted some meme of, the caption goes, never forget the guy who pulled out his dick in front of 3,000 feminist protesters. And in the image, and in below, there's an image of a guy who's backed against the wall, and he's surrounded by a whole bunch of angry women. Well, feminists, actually, because I see a few men in there, too. And he's smiling. There's a big, like, grin on his face. And I'm thinking about how that guy, he does not look like a guy who's about to lose a life. He looks like a guy who is happy he chose the. Anyways, so I responded with, sorry, I'm in the comment section. I responded with, without even thinking, without even reading the room, because I thought we'd be all on the same page. I said, it would be different if the guy who did that trolled these feminists. It'd be different if there was a risk of him losing his life. Like, it'd be different if feminists were the villains people keep making them out to say. It'd be different. I'd probably be more impressed with this guy if he did some shit like walk around with a poster of, with an image of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in front of the Taliban. You know what I mean? Okay, and lived. And lived and kept that same grin. Then I'd be like, oh, that's badass. Now you're a king. Now you get props. But he did it to some feminists who their only crime in life is speaking up for themselves. It's just being, yo, we're not going to take it anymore. Basically anything the rest of us could relate to. But for some reason, their outrage is like a bad thing for some men. Seeing them angry, seeing feminists angry is like a positive for them. It's like, it bothered me, man. It just bothered me. And what killed me is in the responses, one asshole responded with, I call him a fuck him, he's an asshole, responded with, he wasn't trying to impress you. And, of course, missed the point of what I was trying to say. I wasn't looking for him to impress me. I was saying, look, when did we as men start rewarding bitch-ass behavior? All he did was troll a bunch of women who were just going for theirs, who were just going about not using violence to protest shit that they feel that to get a piece of the equality that we have, you know what I mean? To get a piece of the shit that we take for granted. Anyway, it bothered me, and it just reminded me of how a lot of us men would have been duped into believing that feminism is an enemy. I'm actually at a point in the book where Bell Hooks is explaining how, well, let me put it this way. I'm going to reinterpret it. Like, I feel like yelling to some dude. I said, look, man, feminism is not the reason why you got a divorce, brother. You're divorced because you felt the need to hold on to old ways of thinking, old notions, old-fashioned notions that made you the asshole in the relationship. The thing with feminism is, basically, if you truly want to understand a woman, turn to feminism. Develop feminism behavior. See, I grew up with guys who, there were two kinds of guys. One category of guys didn't understand women at all. I was in that category. The second category understood women just enough so they can get what they want from them. They were the players, essentially. They knew what to say, what to do to make it look, to make themselves look like they're a decent human being and deceive you. Yeah. So I'm saying, if you really want to understand women, what they're going through, what they're thinking, and all that shit, understand feminism. The point, the reality of feminism. See, I don't like calling myself a feminist. I don't know if I'm I'm gonna disappoint you, a few of you, but I do like the idea, but I will call myself a feminist thinker. The reason why, and this is more for because the reason why I don't like calling myself a feminist is because the male hetero, like the brand of the male hetero feminist, it's worse. It's even, it's like, basically no one trusts them. Like, I mean, there's been a lot of bullshitters, con artists, who've walked around with the name of feminist that it makes the rest of us look bad. It would make any other attempt to, even I, whenever I see a guy bragging about how I'm a true feminist, I'm like, yeah, what are you hiding? Like, I don't trust, it's how tainted masculinity is, toxic masculinity. It's how tainted it is, so much that I don't even trust men. My homegirl, she's a feminist, and she has more trust of masculine, of other men than I do. It's kind of funny that way. But anyway, yeah. So yeah, I don't call myself a feminist because the same way it looks weird, or I don't trust a white person who calls themselves pro-black. Humanitarian, you know, sure. But pro-black, sure. What do you mean? You hate white people? I'm not saying I'm right or wrong. I'm just saying that's my current way of thinking, right? It's one of those things, yeah, I wouldn't argue with you about it, man. If you want me to call myself a feminist, fine, I will. But I just feel like for my intent and purpose, it'd probably be better. I would probably get my point across, reach more people if I told them that I'm a feminist thinker. That's it. That's all I'm saying. But yeah, overall, fellas, again, reminder, get it through your fucking head. Feminism is not our enemy. You know who's our enemy? The motherfucker who's raising the price at the grocery store and getting a boner over it and benefiting from the fact that shit is more expensive. Life is more inconvenient for us. That motherfucker. The motherfucker who can point a gun, who can take your life with impunity. Just say, you know, flip a coin and say, you know what? I'm going to flip this coin and decide whether to take your life or not. That's the real enemy. Yeah. There we go. That's it. All right. Already in 51 minutes, eh? Okay, let's go. Let's run through this. Because I have, what else do I got? Okay, and this is the last one I have for This Week in Therapy, the more interesting section. So, second topic I got on my item, I added addicted to naked pictures. I feel like I kind of skipped on it in the last episode, but yeah, this is what I mean about naked, addicted to naked pictures. It's actually a line from Drake. And hearing the verse, I'm oh my God, and sitting talking about bitches that we almost had, and sitting talking about bitches that we almost had. I can't sing. I don't think I'm conscious of making monsters out of the women I sponsor till it all goes bad, but shit is good. Oh, wait, what? That's not the verse. Addicted to naked pictures and sitting. Oh, addicted to naked pictures and sitting. Talking about bitches that we almost had. Okay, there we go. I'm not conscious. Okay, holy shit. My point is the idea of, it had me thinking of porn addiction. And personally, I don't believe in, I'm not a big believer in porn addiction. Now, don't get me wrong. If you're like watching porn at work, if you're risking watching porn at work, or if you're avoiding doing shit that's important to do porn, to watch porn, then yeah, I can see how that's an addiction or how that could be a problem. But if you're watching it like the rest of us, like a hobby, I don't think it's a problem. Where I feel it might be a problem for me, though, this is where I will point it out. And I'm not saying I'm stopping watching porn. My problem is when I realize that nothing else gives me as much fun. Like it's like if you were able to measure my happiness level or my enjoyment level watching movie, recording this podcast, speaking in front of an audience, watching porn, that meter while watching porn would probably be like, would be a little higher than I'm more comfortable than it should be. It's something worth talking. My therapist said that might not be the problem. The problem is it's probably the only thing that's giving you, when it's the only thing giving you the pleasure in life, then yeah, of course you're going to be in some shit. You'll be thinking shit like, you know what? This life ain't shit. Life sucks. Only thing that gives me pleasure is something that I can't really brag about. Or maybe I should work in the AVN. But anyway, whatever, man. Anyway, all I know is, and I mentioned this in the past episode, this is, for those of you who heard it, this is going to be a broken record. I just realized that, and I decided to make my resolution to find something else that I consider fun. You know, I actually bought a PS4 because, you know, everyone else was having fun using it. And that motherfucker's collecting dust, man. The only game that I enjoyed was God of War, the fourth one. The fifth one is, I don't know, for some reason I'm not enjoying it as much. But, yeah, I know there hasn't been a game that made me stick to it. I don't know, it's, you know, part of it is because, you know, I've gotten older, and it's not like the Nintendo days where you had, you know, one controller for direction and two buttons. These new joysticks have, like, a lot more buttons. My hand-eye coordination sucks. That's what we're doing. So it's, yeah. I'm looking for hobbies, man. I think I'm going to take a cooking class, but I'm trying to find shit. You know, I was, shout out to my homie, Trevor Thompson. He's got a podcast. What's it called? Trevor Podcast? Is that what he calls it? Yeah. Anyways, yeah. Check it out, man. Google Trevor Thompson on, I think it's Trevor H. Thompson. And listening to him, especially his solo episode, reminds me, has me thinking about, I'm not sure if I miss doing comedy, but I love hearing him talk about his journey in Canadian comedy. Like, you know, it's a lonely road. It's a fucking, it sucks. It's like, you know, it's a thankless road. But I don't know, when he talks about it, when he interacts with other comics, when he does a show, tries a new joke and it works, bombing and all those aspects, I'm glued into that conversation. I'm not sure what that's about. Like, I can't tell if it's because I miss comedy or I just like hearing him talk about it. But his last episode just had me thinking about, maybe I will try to do a comeback. See, When I started 2022, my therapist asked me, "Hey, so what do you think about releasing a podcast?" And at the beginning, the first time she asked me that, it was in January, and I was like, "Hell, motherfucking no!" I couldn't picture myself putting out any more shows. And June or July, I forget when I released, when I finally came out, and now I'm at, you know, June 2022. Put out one my first episode, and by the end of 2022, I was at episode 40. So who knows? I guess I'm saying maybe there's hope. Who knows? Maybe by the end of this year, I'll be back into doing comedy and bitching about it. We'll see. All right. Okay, that's it for, I said addicted to naked pictures. Yeah, that's it for this week in therapy. Now let's jump to some random thoughts, and I'm going to try to run through this quickly. It is actually just really quick stuff here. I'm going to rant about how rules are for suckers. This is the headline. The Twitter caption reads, first, I didn't know who it was. All I know is this really attractive woman sitting next to this subdued with a nice watch. And the caption goes, Saudi Arabia set to bend its marriage law to allow Cristiano Ronaldo to live with his partner, Georgia Rodriguez. Yeah, they saw her and they said, yeah, man, whatever the fuck you want to do. Saudi Arabia marriage law forbids couples that are not married from living together. Anyways, reading that headline just annoyed me. I was thinking of every time I was forced to basically, rules are made to be broken, man. And it also had me thinking about this line in the Matrix, the second Matrix, and by the Mirvenji, I don't know, I'm pronouncing his name wrong, but, you know, shut up podcast, that's what we do. And this is what he says. He goes,
choice is an illusion created between those with power and those without.
It basically, that quote reminded me, okay, he says, choice is an illusion created by those with power and those without it. And, but it just had me think, because I remember someone wrote in the caption how rules were created by rich people to be enforced on poor people or the powerless. We're the suckers who live by the rules. The rest of them are like, yeah. I don't know. It just kills me that Saudi Arabia is trying to like, okay, you know, we want this dude to play on our soccer team. Like, he's a soccer player, right? Cristiano Ronaldo? Yeah, he's a soccer player. Of course he is. And they want him on their team, and they're willing to make some exceptions because, man, fuck capitalism, man. Fuck capitalism. All right, that's it. Yeah, that's just a rant. Just a little rant about, for every time someone has enforced a rule that I knew that one day would be broken. But here we are. Whatever. It is what it is. Okay. I wish I had this conversation growing up. Here we go. I'm going to play this because it's meaningful. Hold on a second. Helps if you hit
it. It was one time in middle school where I was confronted by this older classmate. He said something to me about like a problem that I had with learning. Like, it wasn't like a problem. I just learned slower than other people. He said something about my mom. Said that, oh, your mom is dumb, so that means you dumb. So I don't typically fight people unless they say something about my mom. So once he said that about my mom, I stood up and I hit him, and I got suspended for that day.
Thanks for sharing that. I appreciate your transparency, because that's what Brother Will Smith probably was feeling. We react to disrespect, but we don't respond to disrespect. I allow myself a moment to process what's going on, like Doctor Strange. We all seen Infinity War, right?
Yes, sir.
Remember when Thanos was coming, he was sitting there meditating in the air, and he was like processing all of these scenarios. What's the best response for this incoming threat? He had to pick the one that was what?
The one that will succeed.
Yeah, advantageous for them, but to the world, it looked like what? He was weak, right? He punked out, right? I want to expose the deception of what a real man is, this world's definition of one. Because if we keep continuing to try to resolve conflict with conflict, there continue to be situations like we saw at the Oscars. There continue to be more bodies in the city morgue. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
A man without self-control is like a city without walls. Basically, anyone can penetrate you, your mind, your emotions. And I don't want you to be like a lot of men out here who egos get in the way and pride or their trauma, something that happened in the past. They say, that ain't going to never happen to me again. If someone else ever speak to me like that, I'm doing this. Don't ever make a vow like that. Because you're programming your brain to basically, you're fixed on a response instead of allowing yourself to process the best decision to be made in that situation.
Wow. The name of the person you were hearing, not the child, his name is, come on, B. There we go. His name is Jason Wilson. Okay, follow. Probably not following him. And I think he's one of, you know, let me see. Okay, best-selling, Peace Be Upon Us. One of those. Best-selling author, director of The Caves of Adam. Okay, you know, let me get to the point here. It's the reason why this got to me is I love what he said about reacting and responding to aggression. Because he had me thinking about how I grew up on the other side of that pendulum. Well, raised on the other side of that pendulum where I didn't know the idea of responding to an act of aggression. Because the way I handled it was by not reacting. I thought I was showing strength. I thought I was showing strength by, so someone says something disrespectful to me, and I didn't react, and pretended like I was brushing it off. But I wasn't actually responding. I was more like, not neglecting, I was more ignoring it. Exactly. I was I was raised by parents who would, you know, who would tell you that turn the other cheek. Turn the other cheek. And, but who also never had a solution for me to when a white kid would call me nigger. It was more, it's as if like, look, we can't tell you to fight. We don't want you to fight, but you got to do something. So essentially, someone would do an act of aggression. A lot of people thought that, oh, whatever, you know, they probably believe that, oh, this dude's a punk. Or we could walk over this person. But the truth is, I would take that aggression and simply not know what to do. It's kind of like someone froze a hot coal in your hands. And I was told, okay, whatever you do, don't drop it. So I'd spend my time letting this shit burn my hand and pretend like it has no effect on me. When the truth is, so essentially, my response were always passive. If there wasn't passive, it was aggressive. It was one of the two. It was always inappropriate. But I love the idea of responding to it. So taking the time to be like, yo, this shit hurts. Boom. Now, what do I need to do for this shit to not happen again? I didn't know that was an option. That was a reality. I was gonna make a point about how, you know, like about black men not allowed to be angry, but I think of this dude, this young guy I used to know at the barbershop. And people used to fuck with him on a regular basis. But it was just, for them, it was just so entertaining because, one, he wouldn't get mad. If he did get mad, it was funny the way he would do it. So he just developed this reputation of getting fucked with. Now, at first is, and it's not just him. Like, I've been in situations like that, like this before, right? Now, the rest of us, I don't know, for people were probably entertained for it. But for me, that shit made me feel uncomfortable. One, I didn't say anything because I didn't want to be, okay, it's like, look, either we diss him, either we fuck with him, or we fuck with you. I was just glad I wasn't the one that wasn't being fucked with. The fact that I wasn't being fucked with made me feel like, okay, well, I guess they consider me a peer or whatever. But, I mean, it was all wrong, but and I hated it. I hated seeing it, and I was considering the possibility that, shit, maybe he's going through, like, the reason he's not reacting, the reason he's not fucking all these people up like he would be entitled to do is because he probably thought the same thing about aggression, how to respond to aggression. You're better off not doing shit about it. I'm thinking about how a friend of mine was telling me how during slavery, when they were like trying to break these black men, these slaves, to convince them, like, they would break them. To convince them, like, yo, there is no God but your slave owner. But your owner. And convince them to shred. Like, black women got to a point where they had to teach their son. Black mothers had to teach their son as a means to survival. Keep your head down. Be fucking passive. As far as you're concerned, whenever the slave owner's being mean to you, you like it. You like, they had to beat aggression out of them for the sake of survival. The last thing a slave owner wants to see is that, oh, wait a minute. Kind of sounds like you're not enjoying being whipped. Kind of looks like you're not enjoying being a slave. Like, these white people have this notion that black people enjoyed slavery, and anyone who didn't react that way, well, okay, you were a problem. Like, we were broken. So to a point where white people could go along with the belief that, oh man, these black folks love slavery. Got a whip. Don't even pull out the whip. You know what I mean? Like, raise their hand and it'll cause you to flinch. They love that shit. They love. And it's only when Nat Turner did the rebellion, a lot of them were like, I'm starting to think these niggas don't like slavery, man. I'm starting to think that there might be a problem. That's what the meaning of the Nat Turner rebellion. Man, like the Haitian Revolution made a lot of white people be like, "Ooh, wow, this slavery shit is dangerous." I have a dangerous tiger living in my apartment next to my kids. What I'm getting at is sometimes I wonder if I used to wonder whether that teaching were passed on to us. My brother wasn't actually the passive type. I was. He was. Let me put it this way. If he was passive, okay, I'm not saying he handled it better or worse than I did. He just handled it differently. And but I know he was more, if between him and I, he would have been considered the rebellious slave. It's like, fuck, when are you going to fucking get it? I learned how to, like, you know, shut the fuck up, Benda. Anyways, it just had me thinking, I wish I had those conversations on how to react to aggression. Because all I knew was, you're better off acting like it's not bothering you, even though it fucking is. You're better off acting like it not bother you and deal with it later when you explode. Because then I get myself in trouble. And at one point that I reach a point where, you know, I reach a limit and do something I ended up regretting and doing some. Like, there's a video of a woman bowling, and her man looks like she's in an argument. They're both at each other's face. And at some point, she like hits him with a bowling ball. Hits him with the bowling ball and continues playing bowl. Now everyone's watching it going, oh man, she's going to jail. Now I'm not saying she's right for what she did, whatever. But the one thought that crossed my mind is, I wonder if she's conscious of what she just did. Like, people are watching the video like, yo, she knocks people with a bowling ball on a regular basis. Who knows? I don't know this person. But a part of me was able to see a version of myself reaching a point, like taking in acts of aggression to a point where he snaps, and in being in a moment where he thinks knocking someone with a bowling ball makes sense, feels justified knocking someone with a bowling ball. Which I know it's not right. I'm getting back to the point of, I'm wishing at a younger age I had that conversation on how to react to aggression. Oh, shit. I thought I was recording for 3 hours. Okay. All right. Okay. Let's. Okay. So I got two more things to go before leaving. It's funny how I thought this was going to be a short episode. Ah, fuck it. It's my birthday. I do what I want, man. Fuck y'all. All right, this is a really quick headline. I'm not going to invest a lot of, this is like half a bar version, but the headline made me laugh. It goes, Taliban worried about Andrew Tate as they ask for his freedom. I'm going to repeat that. Taliban worried about Andrew Tate as they ask for his freedom. Now, I don't know if you know who Andrew Tate is, besides a piece of shit, but I will say in the comment section, you can read the article. If you know, you know. You know, you're probably laughing because you're like, of course the Taliban's would be like, that's my nigga. Whatever. Yeah. Holy shit. We should recruit him into Islam. Whatever. But I think this is my fuck you to... See, Andrew Tate is a piece of shit. But his supporters, to me, are worse. You know that Chris Rock skit where he says if... your only role as a father is to keep your daughter off a pole? I think it's bullshit. What I will say is, if you're a father raising a son and they're an Andrew Tate supporter, you fucked up. You fucked up as a human being and as a father. Like, you're better off letting that motherfucker join the Taliban. I guess that's what I'm trying to get insane, right? And I'm only sharing this link so I can encourage you to go read this piece written by the Vice magazine, and it goes, exclusive, Andrew Tate was arrested on suspicion of rape in the UK in 2015. And it's just to be like, just to give you some more context of how toxic, how shitty he is as a human being. And I think who I hate more than Andrew Tate are his supporters, man. They're the worst. It's like they need a mascot to be like Andrew Tate is their mascot, the asshole bat. I'm gonna end it there. Just the link is in the show notes, and read it for yourself. And if you're one of those people who say, oh, that shit is just propaganda, go fuck yourself. Go fuck yourself. Why the hell are you listening to this podcast? You're not my audience. Anyways, all right. Okay, last piece of article is, last piece of article, last news is, I'm not sure what went on in the States. Okay, the way I labeled this is, I said, this is why the next clip I'm going to play for you is by, if you're familiar, it's of Hakeem Jeffries. It's just a reminder of why it was so difficult to get for Canadian parents to get their children to focus on Canadian politics, because our neighbors to the south are fucking so entertaining. Their politics, American politics is like HBO. Canadian politics is like PBS. No offense to PBS. It's TV Ontario, you know, when they weren't showing cartoons. You know, like that. No disrespect to the agenda. It's a good show. But I'm just saying, Canadian politics, maybe it's probably a good thing. It's probably a good thing that our politics is boring. It should remain boring. But I'm just saying, it was so difficult. It's shit like this, like I'm going to play right now, that made it difficult for us Canadian kids to focus on our own politics. By the way, you know what? I'm going to take a quick moment to send a shout out to my homegirl, Dubious. Because I used to love how she'd be the reminder that, hey, asshole, you live in Canada. Stop focusing on American politics. Don't get me wrong. No, black people politics, we stay focused on. But yes, there are times where I give way too much. Well, you know what? Nah, fuck it. I'm not going to get myself forgiving myself. But I'm just saying, it is. Sometimes it can be hard as a Canadian to focus, to not allow myself to be distracted by the shit that goes on in American politics. This is the clip.
On behalf of my colleagues on the other side of the aisle, well, we do extend our hand of partnership to you, and want to make clear that we extend and intend to try to find common ground whenever and wherever possible on behalf of the American people.
Yeah, they don't know what's coming. I guess I should add, he's in the middle of doing his first speech as minority leader representative. Yes. He's doing his first speech, and he's a Democrat, and this is how he ended his speech. This is him ending his speech.
Want to make clear that we will never compromise our principles. House Democrats will always put American values over autocracy, mm-hmm. benevolence over bigotry.
Come on.
The Constitution over the cult.
Come on.
Democracy over demagogues. Mm-hmm. Economic opportunity over extremism. Freedom over fascism. Governing over gaslighting, mm-hmm. hopefulness over hatred, inclusion over isolation,
come on.
Justice over judicial overreach, knowledge over kangaroo courts, mm-hmm. liberty over limitation, maturity over Mar-a-Lago. No-
Oops. He said maturity over Mar-a-Lago. Keep going.
Over Mar-a-Lago. Normalcy over negativity.
Come on.
Opportunity over obstruction.
Jeez.
People over politics.
Uh-huh.
Quality of life issues over QAnon. Reason over racism.
Uh-huh.
Substance over slander.
Come on.
Triumph over tyranny.
Yep.
Understanding over ugliness. Voting rights over voter suppression. Working families over the well-connected. Xenial over xenophobia. Yes, we can over you can do it. And zealous representation over zero-sum confrontation.
Come on. Let him have. What did he say? Sorry, sorry.
American people. So let us not grow weary of doing good, for the American people will reap the benefit of the harvest if we do not give up. God bless you. God bless the house. God bless the United States of America.
Oh, man. I thought that shit was funny. Fuck y'all. Shout out to Hakeem Jeffries, man. He's been known to incorporate rap lyrics, not in an immature way, but in a clever way, incorporate rap lyrics in some of his speeches. But I feel like I'm going to be a fan of this guy. I don't know, man. 2023 is looking to be an interesting year. All right, man. Yo, that's it for me, man. I'm going to... finish off. I'm glad. Yeah, this concludes episode 42. Woke up. I don't know. Woke up late on my born day, or woke up early on my born day. One of these two titles, whatever inspires me when I decide to hit the publish button. But until then, I'm trying to do two things at once. It's I'm trying to say.
Go. Yep. Go, yep. Go, yep. Go, 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 shawty. It's your birthday. We gon' party like it's your birthday. We gon' sip a Cardi like it's your birthday.
Come on.
And you know we don't give a fuck.
It's not your birthday. All right. Yo, this concludes today's episode. You know what? I'm going to take some just to say that I really appreciated. I'm thinking of comics I used to see who would do a comedy set on their birthday. And I thought that shit was so symbolic, doing shit that they love as a present to themselves. And I'm really glad that I chose to record on this day. Initially, I was going to record yesterday because I was planning to go out. But no, now that I got this shit out the way, I'm actually glad that... look, man, thank you. I guess I just want to say thank you all, if you're listening, allowing me to create this art on a special day for me. And yeah, that feels good, man. This was like a present to myself, and I'm fighting the disappointment that I woke up late, that I didn't wake up early. But you know, motherfucker's getting old, man. Fuck it, motherfucker has more appreciation for sleep than I did when I was younger. But yeah, man. Yo, this concludes. Sorry, that beep you just heard was my cousin Moo wishing me a happy birthday. I feel like I can't start my birthday until I get. Every year she sends me a special message, and it just warms my heart. So I think it's a beautiful coincidence that her message reached me while I'm recording this episode. she just sent me a YouTube link, and I'm laughing. And I haven't seen it yet, but anyways, yeah, man. Shout out to the loved ones in our family, I mean, in our circles. All right, this concludes today's episode 042, Woke Up Early on My Born Day. Or woke up late on my born day. We'll figure it out. We'll see. Again, if you want to holler at me, you know, find me on Twitter. You probably found me on Twitter already. And using the my B Blizzak account or my Shut Up Podcast account. Because I throw the link in there and I mention how this podcast is just me trying to figure out this thing we call life. And yeah, I'm not preaching to you. I'm spitting thoughts out loud. Website is shutuppodcast.com. Email address is shutuppodcast411@gmail.com. And to subscribe to my podcast, if you didn't know, if you like what you hear, you want to subscribe, either go to my website and use the RSS feed or find me on Google and Apple Podcasts. Thank you for listening. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.
Yeah.
actually, before I continue, actually, yo, check this out. I guess I want to take a quick second to say shout out to DJ Red Octopus. Is it DJ Red Octopus or super producer Red Octopus? I bought some beats off him, and I love when one person's art inspires you to do another art. And you know, I could have saved this for the midweek episode, but I just wanted an excuse to be able to play. That's not bad. That might be how I'm gonna conclude the show. Yeah, so this concludes today's episode. And remember, be kind to your favorite podcast.